I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
It's time for a sales manager spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
Hi, everybody. This is going to be an amazing interview. We're talking to Kara Kermeens today. She is a technology and advanced sales representative for Brooks Running, one of the best running brands in the world, according to them. In the little spare time that she has, Kara is also a distance running coach. And I want every diehard out there, especially the overweight ones, to welcome Kara to the show.
Hey, Kara.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Hi, Jen.
What's going on?
Not much. Excited to be here and meet you and talk about some Brooks Running.
So cool. This is pretty cool. You actually showed up to our studio in Charlotte and brought us sneakers.
Yep.
Like I'm wearing them right now.
And me too. But she actually employed the rule of Earl.
She was early.
If you're not a half an hour early, you're late.
That's right.
And Kara was a half an hour early, and we started early as a result of it.
We're starting on time, actually.
Oh, we had kibitz time.
Yeah, we did. We had nice.
Yeah, and found out that
time.
She, you know, grew up in the woods and had to run away from home, and that's how she started running.
How did you get into running and sales?
Sure. So running began in middle school when we had to do fitness testing. And I beat all the boys in the mile run, and my gym teacher said,
hey, you want to do this for a living?
Well, he said, hey, have you thought about cross country? And I'm like, not really. I just like to play soccer, but I suppose running would keep me in shape for that. So changed my life.
Cool.
Wow, that's totally cool.
Yeah.
And what was your time in the mile? Do you remember?
It was 5:45.
What? Oh,
wow,
man, that's
pretty cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
I ran an 8:30 mile once and then died.
I'm glad you're back to life now.
Yeah, they resuscitated me. I'm a 10-minute miler if I run, maybe 11.
That's what's special about Brooks, though, is that we are
an all-inclusive
brand.
Got it.
So how'd you get into sales?
Sure, sales, it kind of began growing up, little things with working events and helping selling people on events and getting them incorporated. I think all through high school too, more so incorporating people than necessarily products, but selling the idea of activities and events, and then doing sales in studying business in college with a food marketing degree at Western Michigan University. And
what's their nickname?
The Broncos.
Okay.
And then beginning with analytics and transitioning that into the field.
Cool.
And have you ever worked for a food company?
I did. Constellation Brands.
And what did you do there?
It's a beer, wine, and spirits company.
Mm-hmm. So you were drunk.
That's perfect.
Running drunk or just drunk?
Yeah. But
it's hard to run and hold a beer.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah,
you got to try a beer mile sometime. But Yeah, so it started with category management on the Walmart account for Constellation, and then more so into the field sales analytics side of things. And then now at Brooks, getting to have a territory, visiting accounts, putting on events, promotion, things like that.
Cool. And do you? I have an idea for you to put on an event in Charlotte.
Let's hear it.
You should get all of the competitive companies to pony up big money and run against one another.
I love it.
Wells Fargo runs against Bank of America. Burger King runs against McDonald's.
Sponsored by Brooks.
Sponsored by Brooks, exactly.
And Sell or Die.
Yeah. Isn't that a good idea?
That's a great idea.
So you just, all you need are a couple.
Yep.
And then the rest will fall in. If you can get Wells Fargo to go up against Bank of America, it's a big, it's a health thing. Come on, you can't. Make it a 5K so any sissy can get in it.
Let's make it around the block. We'll do a relay race around the block.
Well, you know what I mean. You can make it a 10K and you can make it an annual event.
Yeah.
The Hyatt used to have one, a turkey trot.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened to it, if it was around Thanksgiving, obviously. But whenever you can do – I've done two events with competing companies and it works. Did a golf tournament.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, thanks.
That's cool, Jeffrey. Yeah. So who are you selling to?
So Brooks has, obviously, they're brooksrunning.com. Uh-huh. So they're online direct to consumer. And then we sell in the field to retailers. So there, we have divided that sort of into specialty retail accounts, which are like your running specialty stores. Uh-huh. In the Charlotte area, we have Run for Your Life, Charlotte Running Company. Omega Sports almost falls into that category too. And then there's the national, there are the national doors, which includes like Dick's Sporting Goods, Finish Line, REI, and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Okay. And you do sell to both?
Correct. Yes.
Got it. And what are some of your challenges like in terms of getting to the decision maker or getting in the door?
Sure. So we have two reps in the Carolinas, and this is across the country how Brooks is structured. We have a sales rep who sells into the store, gets the products into the store, and makes sure that they have inventory. Then my job is to help get those products out the door, help make sure that that staff is educated, knowledgeable, knows how to sell to the customer what's special about this Brooks shoe or piece of apparel to help get that out the door, or putting on events and clinics. To generate excitement about our brand. So challenges surrounding that is obviously educating educating the employees at these stores to reiterate when customers come into their store to make sure that that's making sure that customers then know why that shoe is special, what's making, what they might be feeling under their foot when they experience
it. Feels like
the run.
A lot of gel or something underneath here.
I'm going to throw this at you. You're leaving out a couple of things, obviously. you have to sell against Nike, you have to sell against Adidas, and you have to sell against Under Armour now, who is kind of ramping their crap up to Steph Curry model $350 shoe. And how much is the Steph Curry shoe? Does anybody know? Studio? No.
Our
no
producer is modeling it.
Very
answer plenty. Answer plenty. I'm sure it has. We're researching it right now. But you have to sell against the other brands.
Correct.
Not just why the Brooks brand is the greatest brand, but why the other brand is not quite as superior as your brand, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you do. You know, they sell shoes.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because in the national doors, Brooks is not known to the majority of the running customers there.
Correct.
Whereas in the specialty doors, Brooks is the top brand and the most known, probably most widely known brand among consumers.
That's interesting.
You mean
I'm not
for running
a runner,
a race,
so I had
thing?
No idea.
Yeah, I'm a big runner myself.
And would you
not
stop
are
for,
you a runner? No, okay, just checking.
Yeah. I have raced Gabrielle down the hallway 500 times.
We raced on the beach, but we were barefoot.
Yeah. I can't remember who won that race.
I don't remember, I forget.
Maybe you should put a foot race up because you have your new shoes on.
I think it was.
I'm good for a foot race.
I think
race.
It was a tie.
Yeah, it was a tie in favor of the man.
Yeah, but you had a head start.
Yeah, right, exactly. Twice.
Yeah, but I was carrying something and you weren't.
Oh, my God. So.
Maybe if I had my Brooks running shoes on.
Yeah.
Then maybe. I would have beaten you.
Exactly.
You know, my supervisor recently said, because Desi Linden, who has run for Brooks, she won the Boston Marathon this year. First American in 33 years to, first female American to win the Boston Marathon. And he says, you wear Brooks, you win races. So
I love
really?
That.
Go put it out
I
there.
Love that.
Oh, my God.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Huh.
So, wow. That's,
she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I actually had put a quote down by her that it was her mantra, and I've kind of adapted as a motto, to keep showing up. And I think that's just remind yourself of that every day when you walk into account and you're not super excited to go in. You just keep showing up.
I'm going to put it. Can I put a comma at the end of that?
Please.
Keep showing up. Prepared.
Absolutely. And early.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you run races and
do you run marathons?
I have, yes.
Wow.
I'm training for Chicago right now, but.
Whoa.
Cool. And when you train for the marathon, how many miles do you run a week?
A week, I get up to about 60 to 70 in a week.
60 to 70 miles? In other words, you run to Cleveland from here?
Yeah. Round trip.
Do you stop for like Dunkin' Donuts or anything?
So do you travel?
Keeps America running on Dunkin'.
Do you travel a lot for work?
I do. Most days I'm in the car.
And how do you maintain a running schedule? Because we have a lot of diehards who are salespeople who are on the road all the time. And one of the hardest things is fitting in exercise and fitting in their personal time for workout. How do you make sure to maintain that?
Sure. Running and walking is the most easily accessible form of exercise, which is partially why I love it. But with our jobs, and I assume, you know, I'm including many other listeners out here, that it's very unpredictable, but it's flexible.
Weather.
So, yes, weather permitting. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
But just always packing a pair of shoes and socks. You know, a quality sports bra in the car. Brooks makes great sports bras. But always kind of just having that in the back of your bag.
I have several.
Or car.
Yeah, I know.
And it's easy to jump out. There are people you can find everywhere that'll get some miles in with you.
Wow.
I'm assuming Nada is not allowed to use the sound things. You haven't given him permission yet to do that. Because clearly, I have several bras was a dinger.
I love the studio's reaction to our stuff. It's fun to watch.
So you have – this is what I think is the most key part of this interview for those of you who are diehards and listening hard at this. Here's a woman who comes from the Midwest – has great work ethic based on her family, guaranteed. She's honest.
Thank you.
Forthright, obviously on time, willing to give value first. She showed up with a couple of pairs of sneakers. But she loves to run and has a job that involves her love. And that gives her greater passion to perform at a level of excellence. It's not just running a race, which she will do until she about pukes. But she will also do her job until she about pukes.
Well, let's talk about those similarities. So how is a sale or training for the sale like training for a marathon?
Ooh.
So the marathon, the day of your marathon, the day of your race, isn't the hard part. Sure, it's hard on that day, but the hard part are the weeks leading up to it and the preparation and all the tempo runs and the interval workouts and that's the prep work and the communication that happens beforehand that is the bulk of the legwork. That translates into sales as all of the communication, getting people on board, making sure that we're all in line. We all know the same message. We're all – the ship's moving in the same direction.
How does ship move? Oh, the ship. The ship. Got it.
And
okay.
You wouldn't show up to the marathon without any training.
Absolutely.
Huh. All right, I'm going to ask a deep question.
Please.
You run a marathon. It takes you about 3 minutes, 3 hours and 10 minutes to run a marathon. Is that fair?
Lofty goal. Yes.
Okay, 3 hours and 20 minutes.
That's fair.
All right. 3 hours and 20 minutes to run the marathon.
I think it would take me a day.
How long does it take you to prepare to run the marathon?
4 months.
4 months.
Wow.
How many hours a day?
1 to 2.
All right, so you're doing 4 months.
2,400 hours. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, there's not quite that many, but But what I want to find out is what the times factor is. Is it like 20 times preparation equals marathon? And you have to look at that. And diehards out there, how long does it take you to prepare for a sale? Is it 2 times the amount of time you're going to be in front of the customer? 3 times the amount of times you're going to be in the – if you're going to have an hour meeting, how many hours does it take you to prep? I can tell you for me, I'm about a 10-timer.
I'm a 10-timer.
Yeah, it takes me 10 hours to prep for a seminar.
Except if it's something I'm doing new, it might take me double that.
Yeah. But I'm willing to do it. That's my job. That's my career. It might – you know, if it takes me 7 minutes to read a 700-word column that I've written, but it probably took me at least 4 hours to write it. So think about it from a standpoint of what's the preparation time, not – I have a 1 hour appointment on the other side of town and it's going to take me 2 hours to get there. That's bullshit. I want to know how prepared I am to be able to do that. Because you go, Kara, you step up to the starting line or wherever they place you, because usually they put the speedy Nigerians in the front and you know what I mean? People that are so skinny, they make you look fat.
And she's skinny.
And you're somewhere in the backpack, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you're in the backpack and you have your number on and everything and you're rip-run ready to go and you hit the stop, you hit the start line and that starts your – somehow the chip in there tells you when you started, correct?
Yes.
And then you finish and you think, oh my – all the prep work that you did to do that is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And you have to be prepared to do it or you're going to puke and pull off to the side of the road. How many people start a marathon versus how many finish?
There tends to be a pretty significant gap.
Yeah. Half?
Oh, I'd say probably more than – well, more than half complete it.
More than half complete. But the bottom line is, diehards, it's time to get ready. And here's a woman who gets ready every day. She spends a couple of hours – you probably have to get up ass early in the morning and run, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And but when you're taking a shower, you're never pissed off that you ran, correct?
No, I'm not.
That's interesting. So I mean, in a former life, I ran every day. And
I didn't know you then.
Yeah, exactly.
You will now. He's got the shoes.
But I let me tell you what, I got up and ran every single day.
Well, now that I have the shoes and I've been thinking about running, I feel like it's a sign I should start running.
Yeah.
And here's the deal with Brooks. Our motto is run happy. So even if you're not a runner, the fact that you've got 2 legs, 2 feet, you lace up your shoes and just get out the door. It's not necessarily how fast or how far. It's just come to run group. And that's your tryout. Show up.
Yeah. Cool.
I heard a runner one day saying the only thing that he needed to decide when he was running was to turn left or turn right when he went out the door. That was like his big decision of the morning. But I want to go back to selling for just a minute. You're in the store and you're teaching people how to sell, correct?
Yes.
I asked you earlier what the busiest day of the week is, and we affirmed it was Saturday, correct?
Correct.
People come out, they want to buy sneakers, and there's more customers than there is salespeople.
Yes, mostly.
What does the sales guy say? What do you teach the sales guy to say when he is or he or she is overwhelmed with customers?
We try to say, what brings you in today?
No, you're not going to say that when you're...
Well, you had said, just give me a sec and I'll be right with you.
Yeah. Just a second. I'll be with you in just a second. I mean, yeah. So I would say to that customer... Your size is?
9.
And make them think. Okay, and the 9s are over here, or select the model that you want if the shoes are in the back. Select a couple of models that you think you'd like, and as soon as I'm finished, I'll run back and get them for you.
Fair enough.
Throw me a shoe.
In the technical running shoe industry, though, there are aspects to the midsole and structure in terms of support.
No argument that with that, but people still want to like it. People are still going to like what looks good.
Do they
absolutely
do that thing,
and what feels good.
And where they – do you train them to like – I've been to stores in New York where you get on a treadmill and they watch how you walk and they watch how they, you run and then
seriously?
They recommend a shoe based on your gait and based on your – weight and pace and everything? I don't know.
Sure. Brooks does a pretty extensive gait analysis. We call it running signature. And it is a paradigm shift from, instead of just looking at the ankle and the foot, we now look at the knee and how the knee is stabilizing what's happening at the ankle and the foot. And so what Brooks does is we have the treadmill and we have sensors that go on your legs. And we, with the iPad, can record your baseline motion, which is your knee bends.
Is it like a machine when you go into a store? Do you have the Brooks running?
Yeah, I bring the...
You bring it.
I bring it.
You don't leave it there.
Correct. I'll leave the treadmill there. It's typically the store's treadmill. But yeah. We bring the set, and then you record your baseline motion, compare that to your running motion, and we try to find a shoe that can bring your running motion, if it deviates significantly from your baseline, to get a shoe that brings you back to moving as close to your baseline as possible to keep you happy, healthy, and injury-free. Wow.
Oh, that's very cool.
What's the age range that's most acceptable for not having your knees go up into your neck?
Hey, all ages. Actually, I shouldn't put you guys out. Next time we have a running signature day at one of the retailers out here.
Run for your life. That's the guy. That was Larry Fredericks.
We have to take pictures in these, and we'll post them in the Facebook group so you guys can see them. They're actually pretty cute sneakers. They're not just functional and technical and good for you.
They're very
nice
jelly.
Looking.
They're very bouncy.
There is not jelly in these, though. The gel is what weighs the shoes down. So in these soles, it's EVA-based foam, and they blow air into there and rubber, keeping it resiliently soft.
I can
soft.
Feel the fan now.
Are you out for a run?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I'll run for the elevator.
So, do you work on Brooks' social media stuff? What's your involvement with that?
That's a great question, because Brooks has been challenging us. My technical term on my business card is a guru. There are 26 of us gurus across the country, and we've been challenged as gurus to find local area influencers on social media. So people who have a couple thousand followers and kind of create a buzz around those influencers and as ourselves, kind of branding ourselves as like, I'm your Brooks guru, Charlotte area market.
But that's a business model that's never been in the past. And it's something that's way more recent to find influencers and connect with them and have them try to show off the brand. So is it easy to find influencers? Do people normally want to connect? How does that work?
This is for people listening. People are way more approachable than what I think we tend to find. And, at the beginning of all of your shows, you say, you have to have sales balls to make sales calls. Well, I almost think that anymore, it's not necessarily the initial call. It's just that direct message on Instagram.
Right.
Or some social media connection that's a non-invasive way of connecting. Mm-hmm. And it can lead to much more.
I don't want to be your best friend. Yeah. I do want to be a connecting.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But once it does become more of a friendship relationship, and you have a mindset that is to network to give, I think that can really change the trajectory of your...
So you're out running in the morning network. And you're running your 4 or 5 miles or whatever, and you see people out there and they're running in Nikes. Do you give them a card and say, what are you thinking?
I usually... cry, sob a little. And then, I'm very inclusive. I've worked at running stores before, so I've tried the Nikes, Adidas, Saucony, New Balance, Mizuno, Hoka, Ultra. I've tried all the different brands. And I think that's also really important as a sales person that
you believe
are
in your
aware
product. Right, you believe in your
of
product.
What else is out
and
there.
I respect the heck out of that. Mm-hmm. But you still, everyday people, you go out for lunch. Yeah. People are wearing sneakers. You just slip them a card. You go, Brooks, you idiot.
Probably leave off the idiot, but I try to say, if you want to run happy, try a pair of Brooks.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of new cool styles out there. Check out brooksrunning.com. Go visit your local retailer. Huh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's honestly with people that you can tell that are like either athletic or into running or walking.
Yeah.
It's an easy conversation to start.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking for a new car and – then all of a sudden you notice that car all over on the road everywhere you turn, but you had never noticed it before.
Right.
I feel like now I'm going to go outside and see all these people wearing Brooks. And I had never even known of the brand
before
you showed up.
I always knew that Brooks existed as a brand, but I never associated it with the high-tech part of the process. I just assumed it was a brand that competed with any other brand. Compete with Nike, compete with New Balance, compete with Asics.
Do.
You can call yourself whatever. But the question is, and you obviously you won the Boston Marathon this year. Go.
I did not win. You mean Brooks.
You in the vernacular. Brooks won the Boston Marathon. That's worth millions. Literally millions. And my bet is she paid for the shoes.
Funny story about those shoes.
Yeah.
She was given those shoes right as she was stepped to it was a couple hours before the race, and she made that game day decision. Was she going to go with a different pair of shoes or the shoes that she had on? And the shoes that she wound up wearing are a prototype that had only been raced in as far as a half marathon distance. So it was almost like all of us at Brooks were wondering, are these shoes going to make it to the finish line?
What? Wow. Yeah. Don't people normally break in their shoes before the marathon? Isn't there a whole thing with that?
But the conditions were so rainy and cold that day, and it was a prototype that had some Gore-Tex tech to it to keep her, your feet dry-ish.
Do my shoes you gave me have Gore-Tex?
They don't.
Wow.
I think we may want a refund.
Did
they come with a return coupon?
So I was just thinking about the differences you must have, because you mentioned earlier that when you go into a specialty store, you're the number one shoe. But when you go into the national store, you're not.
Right.
Are you in the top 10?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you change your messaging and adapt to those two different environments? Because they're really different.
Yeah.
Right. At the national doors, whenever a customer walks in seeking running or walking, it's like the staff is trained. Brooks is great. That's the first shoe you probably want to try on. After that, we can make adjustments. But and many people at the national doors was, I've never heard of this. I mean, obviously there are some who have. And we're like, oh, yes, I always, I believe in this. I love this product. And then at the specialty doors, there's usually an option of technical running shoe brands that aren't sold at all of the big national retailers. So people just know Brooks at the running stores.
Wow.
That's interesting. So now you're in this metropolitan area, Charlotte, Charleston, are you Atlanta also?
No.
Just
one of my best friends and the guru.
Another guru
is working in Atlanta, yeah.
So, thank you very much for being on Sell or Die. We totally appreciate having a real salesperson who is actually accoladed by her own company as a guru. Most of the time, you're a rep. You know what I mean? Or you're an account rep, or you're an executive rep, or you're a 10 reps. But whatever the title, do they actually put guru on your business card?
They do.
I brought
one to show you.
Yeah, cool. Let's see it. All right.
All right.
That's a wrap. Thank you so much, Kara.
Thank you.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.